Revelation chapter 4 verses 1 through 11. This is the reading of God's word. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature like a face that like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of you, your will they existed and were created." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, indeed the glorious scene that we are witnessing, we thank you that through your word we see heaven. We see God, and we see our heavenly reality. Oh Father, let us not be deceived that this world is not everything. This world is not forever. But Father, that you have delivered us into your kingdom, forever kingdom. And the reality of that place is now our reality forever. Oh Father, let us have our eyes focused on that reality, what your Son has accomplished for us. And let us see ourselves, true selves, and be happy and rejoice because of what your Son has done and accomplished for us. Let us remember that even as we worship you, that we have come to that place. And through your word, let us see the beauty and the glory of that place. and the beauty and the glory of our God who sits on the throne, reigning over all of us. Bless us as we hear your word. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have finished looking at the seven letters of our Lord Jesus Christ to seven churches in chapters 2 and 3. These letters are God's word that is sent to his churches, including our church. Through them, our Lord rebukes and praises, warns, and makes promise to his church. Today's sermon will be divided into two parts. First, we will conclude chapter 2 and 3. Then we're going to start looking at chapter 4. And we will finish looking at chapter 4 the next Lord's Day. When we see the contents of his rebukes, it is very clear that those rebukes resulted because there was a problem in our relationship with him. His message is that in the world, there will be always be difficult times for us. There will be always be the false teachings. There will always be persecutions, sufferings, trials, poverty, tribulation, and even death. But we are the overcomers in Jesus Christ. We are not like the non-believers who are always ready to compromise with the world and sin, who loves this world. We are the overcomers in Jesus Christ. How do the overcomers live their lives? What are the things that define the life of the overcomers? As we have seen in chapter 2 and chapter 3, first of all, they love their Lord Jesus Christ. They are faithful to their Lord Jesus Christ until death. And they love the gospel of their Lord Jesus Christ. And they love the word of their Lord Jesus Christ. They love the kingdom of their Lord Jesus Christ. And they even love the sufferings of their Lord Jesus Christ. These overcomers, they love to imitate Jesus Christ. They love the intimate, sweet, heavenly fellowship with their Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will never forget all the heavenly blessings that are promised to you who are the overcomers in Jesus Christ. We will be able to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The crown of life will be given to us. We will not be hurt by the second death, the eternal death. The hidden manna will be given to us. A white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows, but he who receives it will be given to us. To us, the authority over the nations will be given. The morning star, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, will be given to us. You and I will be clothed in white garments. our name will not be erased from the book of life. Jesus himself will confess our name before the Father and his angels. And you and I will be a pillar in the temple of God. And we will never go out from heaven anymore. God will write upon us the name of the Father, the name of the city of God, and his new name. You and I will be able to sit down with him on his throne to reign with him forever and ever. But brothers and sisters, remember that these are our present spiritual realities. They are already fulfilled in Jesus Christ. They are our heavenly realities that Christ has already accomplished for us. They are the blessings that we already enjoy in Jesus Christ. This is what you are. And these things are what has been given to you already in Christ. Verse 21 of chapter 3, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Do you see? You and I are the overcomers in Jesus Christ. Jesus first overcame, and we now participate in his overcoming. You see, his victory is our victory. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but take courage, I have overcome the world." How did he overcome? How did he overcome? Through sufferings and death and resurrection. If that is so, then you and I who participate in his overcoming, what kind of life do you think we will live here on earth to live a life that overcomes? The same life. Together as his church, we live the same life that our Lord has lived for us. The church, as you have seen in these two chapters, church will have tribulation in this world. As we have seen from the seven letters to seven churches, the life of church in this world is not an easy life. Don't let anybody tell you that. That it is easy to live as a Christian. How can we overcome? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Brothers and sisters, we overcome with our faith. Faith that God gives to us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1b to 2, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. We must fix our eyes on Him. We must imitate Him. Jesus endured the cross. How? This verse says, for the joy that sat before Him, for the joy that sat before Him, He was able to endure the cross. What is the joy that was set before Him as He dies on the cross? Heaven. The reality of heaven. The reality of Jesus Christ having heavenly fellowship with the Father and with us. His hope of heaven made Him endure the cross. Then, if that is so, what would make us endure our hardships in this world? Only way to triumph over this world and the tribulations in this world is to hope in heaven. Fixing our eyes upon our heavenly reality that Christ has accomplished for us. We must, with our faith and through His Word, see ourselves, our brothers and our sisters in heaven, how we are over there. You and I, we must see the end. Eternal, immutable, perfect, glorious, our reality of heaven. We must see and believe and enjoy our heavenly reality that Christ has already accomplished for you and for me. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, but through the Word of God, we know what will happen at the end. We must live our lives enjoying that reality because it is our present spiritual reality. It is already accomplished for you and for me. The eternal salvation that our Lord has accomplished for us. We must live our lives in the enjoyment of heavenly reality. Enjoyment of the reality of our eternal salvation. Do you live with that joy? Joy of our salvation. Or is that the one thing that you think about only on Sunday because you're forced to think about it? Do we understand what our salvation is all about? Maybe you just don't care. Maybe it is not that important to you right now. But you will. You will see that reality one way or the other. And we have to take His rebukes very seriously. It's not rebuke from me. It is rebukes from your Lord that you confess. And you know what is right way of living as a Christian. Maybe you just don't want to deal with it right now. Maybe it gives you too much headache to think about it. Maybe you're enjoying too much the life of this world. It's very hard for you to forsake it. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to listen to me. But But please listen to the word. We must live in the enjoyment of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has alone accomplished the reality of heaven for us. And in now chapter 4 and chapter 5, we see that reality. We see our glorious eternal home. And what you see is not somebody's imagination. What you see is the reality of your eternal home. And if this sight that you see in this chapter do not excite you, then I'm lost for words. Christians are not excited to see their eternal home. Remember, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we have two realities. One visible and the other invisible. Whether you like it or not, there is another world. Two realities, one temporal, the other eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How many times we read this verse? It is written as a fact that Christians will do this. Christians will look at the things that are not seen. See, don't listen to my frustration, but listen to God. God has accomplished your salvation, and God has accomplished this eternal reality for you, and God has accomplished heaven for you, and His people just don't care. They ignore it. What is going on? Are we truly the church of Christ? Through the seven letters, we see the temporal reality of God's church in this world. That is what we saw. But our Lord Jesus Christ teaches and shows that there is another reality, not seen but real, more real than the things that are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When we see the churches in this world, they are not perfect. It seems that the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is losing to the world. It seems that the world is stronger. It seems that the church is powerless. It seems that the church is in danger. Well, if you see her with the worldly perspective, then that is what we see. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they're all working together so that you and I will see things in the heavenly perspective. What our Lord wants us to do is look at things in the heavenly perspective. Look at the things with the eyes of heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Brothers and sisters, this is what we have to do. Every time I come on the Lord's Day to this place to worship, I sit right there and I pray. I pray that God would give me the perspective of heaven. I pray that I will be able to see all of you in the perspective of heaven. That I will be able to see you as God's people who are seated in that heavenly places. Glorious sons of God. I pray very hard. And I pray that you will come to this place to do the same. Come early. This is the most important event in your life. Would you go late to your SAT testing? Would you go late to all your important events in your life? It just shows how you understand this event, this worship. Encourage one another. Showing how precious this worship is to you. Live that holy life to encourage one another. And let us witness the reality of heaven to encourage one another. Show us how much you love Christ. That would encourage all of us. Maybe you just don't care. You and I no longer able to see things with the eyes of this world. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished our eternal reality of heaven. You must not ignore the reality of heaven. To do so is to deny what our Lord has accomplished for you. We cannot live our lives according to this world and the reality of this world any longer. Even as we worship, remember where you have come. Do you really believe that on the Lord's Day morning that you are coming to heaven? Do you really believe? Brothers and sisters, last thing we want to do is to show to the world by how we live that our religion is fake. The Christianity is nonsense. I want to invite all of you to this chapter. Chapter 4. Yes, let us forget about the world. It's okay. It really doesn't matter what kind of problems you have. is already solved in Jesus Christ. Come to this chapter and see heaven. And come and see your God. See it through the Word of God. Jesus will show you. Can we do that together? For at least for now, forget about the world and come and see heaven. Verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." We do not have time to look at this chapter in detail today. We'll do that next week. But let us see the big picture today. The first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking to me, it is the same Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ we met in chapter 1. Glorious, resurrected King Jesus Christ. He invites John to heaven. The door of heaven is open, and Jesus tells John to come up here. Verse 2a, immediately I was in the spirit. Brothers and sisters, you are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Even as you worship, you are in spirit just like John, and you too have been invited to come up to heaven. You too have come to heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem. Yes, the door of heaven is open for you. Do you see? Through the torn body of Jesus, the way to heaven is open for you. You are also invited by your Lord to come to where He is. Now, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, see heaven, see your eternal reality. Verse 2b says, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven. The very first thing that John sees is the throne. Do you see it? Do you see it through the Word of God, your reality of heaven, the reality of heaven? Did you come to heaven? What do you see? Very first thing. It's the throne of God. Behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. In the middle of everything, we see the throne of God, and we see God who is sitting on that throne. This God, verse 8b, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Meet your God who is sitting at the throne of God, throne of heaven. Do you see it? Our God is the center of the whole universe, the center of history, the center of all meanings, the center of all purpose. He is God Almighty. He is the center. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, don't be deceived. You are not the center. You talk just like me, as if we are the center of the whole universe. Everything just evolves around us. No, that is not what we see in the Bible. God is the center. He is the center. Don't you ever forget that. everything, every history flows out from him. This God is seated at the throne. He is the king who reigns. He controls all things. He rules and governs all things from his throne. Verse 5a, out from the throne comes flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. We saw this in the Old Testament when God came to God's people on Mount Sinai. What else do we see? 5b, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. We saw this already, the seven spirits of God. Yes, we see the Holy Spirit there. Verse 6, and before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. Four living creatures. These are cherubim. Special angels, if you will. They are in the center and around the throne. Look at the description. Center and around the throne. As if they are in connection with the throne. Do you remember in the Old Testament when you go into the temple? When you go into the room that is called Holy of Holies, there you will see the Ark of the Covenant, and top of it was the mercy seat. It was a symbol for the throne of God. Exactly what you are seeing in our passage. Mercy seat was a symbol of throne of God. And right above that mercy seat, we see the two cherubim in the Old Testament. Yes, it was the copy and shadow of the things in heaven. But here we see the real thing, cherubim. Cherubim. What else do you see? Chapter 5, verse 11. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. You see, in the middle there's throne of God, and God is sitting on it. And four living creatures, and you see the Holy Spirit, you see 24 elders, and the many, many angels around all of them. And in chapter 5, we see a scroll or a book in the right hand of God. The plan of God's new creation is written upon it, and we see Jesus Christ who breaks the seals of that book, meaning that he reveals the plan of God and he is the one who fulfills it. Do you see your eternal home? Is this sight makes you excited? Brothers and sisters, see heaven. God is sitting on his throne as the king of the universe, and he reigns and he rules. All the plan of God that he planned before the foundation of the universe, he will fulfill all of them through and by and for Jesus Christ, our Lord, his Son. As you will see, all history flows from this place. God is in control. You will see later, if a seal is broken in heaven, then something happens in this world. If a trumpet is blown in heaven, then something happens in this world. If a bowl is poured out in heaven, Then something happens in this world. Do you see the pattern? Everything flows out from God's throne. He is governing. He is in control. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 describes God as who works all things after the counsel of His will. From this chapter, when we look at heaven, everybody is doing what? What are they doing? What are they doing in heaven? Verse 8b. Well, let me just read verse 8 through 11. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. What are they doing? And day and night, they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever. And will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created." Go down to chapter 5, verse 11. Then I looked, I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lord that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. What are they doing? They are worshiping God just like us. Do you see yourselves participating in that eternal worship? Is this what we're doing right now? Obviously, some of you, even by just do you really believe that you have come to that worship? And that you hear angels crying out, praising our God? Do you hear your brothers and sisters, 24 angels just worshiping God? Do you see yourselves and 24 elders falling down and worship four creatures crying out to God, "Worthy is the Lamb"? Is that what we're doing together, brothers and sisters? Well, like I said, you just don't care. Maybe you really just don't care. If you truly believe you have come into that glorious scene, your attitude will be different. Your posture will be different. Your understanding, your realization of reality will be different.
You don't want this to end. You really don't want this to end. You know, some people will measure the success of a pastor by counting the numbers of the members. Some people will measure the success with a large building. I would like to measure my success by seeing how much you love to worship God. That this will be the center of your life. That there's nothing better, nothing more important than gathering with the brothers and sisters and four creatures and myriads of angels to worship God. Obviously, as far as my success is concerned, I have a long way to go. Long way to go. But I do not give up. I trust God. And even when you don't want to hear it, I'll continue to tell you. The way that you live right now has to be better. Because no matter how much you improve, we have to improve more. Wow. Do you really want to go? Brothers and sisters, this is your reality. You are an active participant of this worship that you see in this book, God's Word, right now. You have come to that glorious place, and you are worshiping your God with all these. Behold the beauty and the glory of your God. Enjoy Him now and forever. Enjoy your God. The church in this world must see this, her reality of heaven, that her Lord has already accomplished for her. Christian life will be so dry without seeing this. Actually, Christian life is meaningless without seeing this. Apart from this reality that Christ has accomplished, our religion is meaningless. Seven churches that are going through sufferings and persecution must look up and see their heavenly reality. Brothers and sisters, you see this picture of heaven. And I pray to my God that it is the most wonderful picture, the most glorious picture that you will ever see And then you will be excited. Yes, for the people of this world, it is not something to be excited about. Yes, any people of the world who come into that door, they will, what is this? But what about you? What about you? Let me read a few passages from Psalms as I end this. Even at the Old Testament level, as they come to the temple and worship God, just hear how excited they are. Even as they come to a copy of the real thing, see how excited they are. Now, because of what Christ has accomplished, we have come to the real thing. We're not coming to a copy anymore. And how much more excited should we be? Psalm 16, verse 11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. Yes, we come to heaven and it is full of joy. It is full of pleasures. Psalm 84. Verse 1. How lovely are your dwelling place in today's language. How lovely is your heaven, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird has found a house and swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Psalm 27. Verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. One thing that I have asked from God that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of God forever and ever, to behold the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ and to meditate or inquire in His heaven, in our eternal home. Brothers and sisters, if not anything, brothers and sisters, I want you to see the beauty of the Lord before you go out. Oh, you are blessed. You are truly blessed. Let's pray. Oh Father, we thank you for you have shown us the most beautiful and glorious sight. Through your word, we see heaven. Through your word, we see our God. Through your word, we see the reality of heaven for us. Oh Father, we thank you that even now as we worship you, we are the active participants of that glorious worship. We too fall down on our face and worship you, God. Oh, receive glory. Receive glory. And bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.